This is Jennifer Hadley, and I'm grateful to be able to transcend time and space this way in order to be with you. The workshop you're about to listen to was recorded live on the phone with an audience. I encourage you to print out the transcript and have it in front of you. You can get the link to download the transcript on the CD cover. This way you can make your notes of personal ahas and insights, and you'll have them to go back to later. I invite you to pause the recording after the prayer at the beginning and take a moment to write down your intention for healing. You can intend to participate fully and listen wholeheartedly. Remember, you share the benefits of your healing and expansion with everyone because you're one with them. There's no extra charge to make the most of your investment. You're so worth it. Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for joining me. This class, I'm calling it Eliminating Your Blocks to Success, and I'm very excited to hear what Spirit has to share for us. And I do say for us because I often find that one of the great benefits to doing the work I do as a minister, sharing as a teacher, and working as a spiritual counselor and training spiritual counselors and as a writer, all these different activities that make up my life, my ministry. Gandhi said, my life is my message. And I love Gandhi. I love his teachings. And I say, my life is my ministry. And I have come to see that the greatest joy there is from being of service. I call it being of service to the light and to each other, of course, and to ourselves. It's the great gift that we have that we can share, and I'm so grateful to be sharing with you today. And I'm going to start us off with a prayer. So let's take that breath of love and gratitude together and be so grateful and thankful to ourselves for giving ourselves this opportunity to truly give up and over the blocks to success. So grateful that we're saying yes to our healing and our transformation, to our freedom. So grateful that we're allowing ourselves to remember the truth that sets us free. So grateful. So grateful that right where we are, the fullness of God's love is now and forever. There's not more God in one place and less God in another. There's the fullness everywhere present, omnipresent, and this is the great gift. And we are sharing it. We're receiving it. We're allowing it. We're being healed in this very moment, and we're grateful. Taking this breath of love and gratitude with our hand on our heart, we declare that we're wholeheartedly willing and available to see the truth and know the truth, to live the truth, and to set aside all blocks to success, all blocks to love. Love is the great success. Love is the great healer. Love is what we are. So we are grateful and thankful that we're saying yes to love together, and we're allowing ourselves to experience true and lasting healing. This is the intention that we gather together and we partner up with the Holy Spirit, the higher Holy Spirit self, and say yes to our healing. We share the benefits with everyone because we are one with them, and in gratitude we allow it to be. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. So let's just reboot ourselves in this moment, and in discussing eliminating blocks to our success, let's establish what success is. For me, my success is when I'm being wholly loving, completely loving. My success is when I'm fully receiving divine inspiration, divine guidance, divine wisdom, true clarity. This is my success. When I'm able to extend love and compassion and to be patient and to be generous and to be kind and to feel fully anchored in my heart and know that I'm being truly helpful and that I am experiencing healing as I'm sharing with my brothers and sisters, whether I'm sitting in the woods, walking in the woods, whether I'm standing in line at Starbucks, whether I'm teaching a class, talking with a friend, making dinner for myself and loved ones, no matter what the activity is, that I am connected in the field of love and that I am actively practicing being my true identity, which I often say is being the perfect giver and receiver of love. This, to me, is true success. And so eliminating blocks to success is what we're going to talk about. But I also feel like it's really valuable for us to look at other ideas we have of success. So for me, there was a time in my life, and I'm just going to share with you as much as I possibly can in the time we have together today. Probably going to go about an hour and a quarter. So that's my goal. And I may even take some questions here. So we'll just see how it goes, because I love to take questions. And so I'm just going to let Spirit guide me as I always do, and follow the breadcrumbs that Spirit gives me as I receive them. So for me, I can tell you that I was on a track as a playwright to be a successful writer. And I had success in New York, I had success on television, and then I got inspired, I wished to make movies and to write movies, and I fell into a place of feeling stuck, like things were just not moving for me. And when I went within as part of my spiritual practice, and this was back in the 90s, I realized that I was really called to focus on my spiritual growth and to put the writing to the side and to come back to it and to focus on becoming a spiritual practitioner as part of the Agape community and to become a spiritual practitioner as a spiritual counselor and to move into a place of moving into ministry. And there was a lot about it that really, I have to say, just to be truthful and 100% honest, there was a lot about it that was scary to me, because I didn't feel like I had what it took. I didn't feel like I had I just honestly didn't feel I was loving enough and kind enough and caring enough to ever be a spiritual teacher or a minister. But I was so interested in everything God that I couldn't deny it. It was such a passion for me. And so I also noticed in myself that I was feeling more and more loving and just loving of humanity in general, and seeing that so many people were crying out in the wilderness, really feeling lost and frightened and helpless and hopeless. And I could so relate to that. And I had a desire to be a successful practitioner and minister. but I did not feel worthy of my calling. And I was so aware that I wasn't walking my talk, and that in many ways I was pretending to be far more loving and kind and spiritual and just what I would say back then, better than I actually believed I was. And so I was in this place of consistently judging myself day in and day out, that I wasn't good enough, that there was something wrong with me, that I was unworthy. And I feared that I could never really truly be successful as a spiritual practitioner or a minister, meaning that I could never really make a career out of it. I could never really make a living, and that I would always be struggling and having some kind of having to have a side career. And for me, I did things like bookkeeping and consulting and administrative work. I did all kinds of things on the side to just pay my bills. And meanwhile, my ego was thinking, you could make so much money if you would just stick to screenwriting and writing. You could make so much money doing that. You could be someone special doing that. But I had such a passion for God, and I just only really wanted to talk about God and think about God. So I was in this place of feeling this deep yearning and burning, but not feeling qualified, not feeling capable, not feeling worthy. And so I felt in so many ways helpless and hopeless, and completely, and I do mean completely, feeling blocked to my success. So I felt that I could have, I'll be honest, I felt that I could have small successes. I could do little things where I could be successful, but I didn't have a sense that it was possible for me to actually truly feel successful with my life. That seemed to elude me. And it was very discouraging to me. And all of this was something that I felt I couldn't tell anyone about. So I kept it hidden. And so I secretly felt bad about myself. You know, as a spiritual student in the Agape community for so long, because I joined that Agape community in early 1994. So that was 23 years ago, and I still feel a part of that community. And that's where my practitioner license comes from. That's where my ministerial license comes from. I graduated from ministerial school in 2006, and I graduated as a licensed practitioner in 2000, so a long time ago. And I just didn't feel it was okay in that community to say, oh gosh, you know, I feel like I can't actually do this. I know, it's done unto you as you believe, but I don't believe I can do this. And how am I going to change that belief for reals? How will I actually change this belief? And the classes were designed to help me. And yet I found that one of the things that was going on for me was I was ashamed. My ego had so much pride. I did not feel comfortable saying, you know what? I'm not really getting this. Like, I'm not having miraculous healing. I don't feel like this is really working for me. And I also will be honest and tell you that I'm a smart person. I am. I'm a smart person. And my ego is a smart ego. And so I can take a class, I can read a book, I can take a test, I can write a paper, I can say what people would like to hear me say. I could do all those things and get an A. And I did it again and again and again. So I have an undergraduate college degree and I have a master's degree, and I have a PhD degree. I mean, I have these degrees. I'm smart. I know how to do these things. But I also know that those things don't make me happy, and they're not fulfilling, and they in no way made me feel like I was good enough or worthy or that something wasn't wrong with me. I was still playing small no matter what. I felt all of that. And so I prayed. I prayed to have a breakthrough, and because I had learned through all my agape training and before that prayer works, and prayer is the foundation of what I teach, because I know prayer works. And the teaching of A Course in Miracles also tells me that prayer works, and that prayer is communion with God, and it's deeply healing, and it's transformative. And I have changed my life with prayer. I've experienced so much healing with prayer. So it's one of the things that I teach. And just listening to the spirit here. It's why I teach, when I teach, my classes begin and end with a prayer, because I know the healing power of it. So I always say, come in time to hear the prayer and be a part of it, and stay until the prayer is said at the end. And so what I've realized through my experience and all of this is that, yes, the blocks to success are in our mind, and that the way it works on just a very practical level is that we incarnate into this experience with a set of beliefs that are false, with the intention to work with the higher Holy Spirit self to heal those false beliefs and eliminate them from our awareness, so we can be a loving, beneficial presence in this world and extend love, teach only love. This is our purpose. We are truly here to take out the trash in our own mind so that we can share the gifts of God. And as we do this, our brothers and sisters witness, and they're healed by what they see. And because all minds are joined, when one is healed, all are healed. So I truly believe that anyone who's ever listening to my voice is on this same trajectory of, we brought in all these false beliefs in order to heal them so that we can contribute that healing to the consciousness of the human race, and that all boats can rise on this tide of love, this wave of healing that we're a part of. Now, our beliefs are what the way I've come to speak about it that I find is very helpful, and this is the foundation of my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp class. It's the foundation of my year-long Masterful Living class. And many people do take my Finding Freedom Boot Camp class as a foundation to my Masterful Living year-long course, but it's not required. It's just helpful. So this foundation is that to understand that these beliefs are operating in our awareness, whether we know it or not, and they're influencing all aspects of our life, because as A Course in Miracles tells us, perception is projection. So if you think of the belief like an image that we hold in our mind, and when we hold it in our mind, it's like shining a light through it onto the screen of our life. Our mind is like a projector. What we hold in our awareness, we're going to see on the screen of our life. So for me, I used to hold so strongly in my mind that there was something wrong with me. Fundamentally, undeniably wrong with me, and I saw it in all areas of my life. And so that one belief that there was something wrong with me, it blocked every form of my success, whether it was success in relationships, success in career, success in feeling good about myself, success in my finances, success in my friendships, success in my creativity, in my family. It didn't matter what area of my life the success was being blocked in. It was all being blocked because of this fundamental belief that there was something wrong with me. And A Course in Miracles would call this that basic guilt that we all have. And in talking with hundreds and thousands of people, really, over the years, what I've seen is that the thought can show up differently in each of us. So it might be that your version of it is that you're fundamentally bad. It might be that your version is you're basically unworthy. Your version might be you're not good enough. They're all expressions of that same fundamental thought. It's the thought that brings that whole separation experience. And we're here to live the script that's been written by us with the Holy Spirit to undo this belief in our mind, and because all minds are joined, to be that beneficial, truly helpful, powerful, healing presence in the world. Seek not to change the world, but to change your mind about the world. And the biggest, best, most powerful way to change the world and to change our mind about the world is to change our mind about ourselves. My doggedness in using spiritual practice to change my mind has been the thing that I've been able to bring the most benefit with, because I've had many thousands of people share in all the free classes and the paid classes and the counseling and all the different things that I'm offering, and tell me again and again and again that what I've shared with them, that they'll say, "You healed my life, Jennifer. You've changed my life." And I always say that I can't change anybody's life but my own. But what I can do is I can tell you what I've done. I can hold your hand, hold your heart with mine, and that we can walk together on the path. I can share with you what worked for me, how it might work for you, and I can hold in my mind for you that you are doing it, you can do it, you have what it takes, you cannot fail, Spirit is with you, you're being guided, we're being guided, we cannot fail, we will succeed, we are succeeding, it is happening, it's happening now, and it's happening by us and through us and with us, and we can remember to laugh together. And that's my passion. It really is. That's my passion, and I'm so grateful that I didn't give up. And so because I'm so grateful that I've been able to have so much more healing in my mind than I ever used to imagine was possible, by far. I mean, I thought it would take literally 100 lifetimes to go from where I started to where I am right now. I firmly believed that 30 years ago, that it would take me 100 lifetimes to make the transformation that I've made in 30 years. And knowing that it's possible, knowing that we can do it, I can't give up on anyone. And so I'm dedicated in what I hope is a really healthy way so that I can be an inspiring teacher of God and authentic and transparent. And what I know is that all blocks to success stem from this essential false belief. And you may know that already too, okay? Because that's talked about so commonly. But what you might not know is really how to eliminate it. So practical tips are recognizing that this false belief, however it shows up in your awareness, I'm not good enough, something's wrong with me, I'm fundamentally bad, however it's showing up in your awareness, it's perfectly designed for you. And you're not supposed to be comfortable managing and coping with it. It's supposed to make you so miserable that you can't stand it another day. It's supposed to feel that way. That's what Jesus talks about in A Course in Miracles, Chapter 2, Section 5, Fear and Conflict. That if, he says, if I took the fear and the effects of fear from you and you didn't feel afraid anymore, which is what people ask for Jesus to do, you know, take it away, Jesus, take my fear. Well, it's the fear is the indicator that we believe something's not, that's not true. And so the fear is helpfully pointing us to look at what we're thinking. Now, the thing about these beliefs that we brought with us in our awareness in order to heal, they contain within them the precise, just waiting on spirit here, the precise curriculum that we are to share and to teach. So for me, this great unworthiness that I felt, this feeling fundamentally bad, because that was exactly how I felt, something so terribly wrong with me that I was indeed convinced that I was fundamentally bad. So convinced. And my life seemed to convince me. It took me a very long time to realize that no, my life is not convincing me that I'm fundamentally bad. It's because I believe it, I'm projecting it onto life, and I'm seeing it only because I believe it. I would not see it if I did not believe it. Took me a long time to finally get that. And how I got there was I had to be willing to see that my brothers and sisters are fundamentally good. Every single one of them. Even the ones that bug me. Even the ones that have hurt me. Even the ones that have intentionally attacked me and tried to break me and disrespect me, molest me, whatever. Even them, they are fundamentally good. Without my willingness to see that, I couldn't see it in myself. So that's the biggest block to our success, is we're not willing to accept the truth that sets us free. We deny it. We refuse to accept it. But that is the truth. Every single one of us is fundamentally good. Every single one of us has the Christ hidden in our mind. And when we're willing to accept the truth, then we can allow it to occupy our awareness, and then we are free. Because the only thing that keeps us from feeling free and experiencing freedom and the flow of prosperity and wholeness and harmony and joy and all the goodness of God is we're not willing to accept that fundamental truth that we are all basically good. Instead, we've got someone that we're like, no, not that one. No, not that one. That one is a murderer. That one's a liar. That one's a cheat. That one is disgusting. That one is whatever. And are clinging to these kinds of pronouncements and thoughts are what prevent us from awakening spiritually. Because those beliefs, the fundamental beliefs, are not being healed when we are thinking these thoughts of attack. Now, the fundamental beliefs, not fundamental beliefs, excuse me, the beliefs that we brought in to heal, what I've seen is for myself, and I hope this can be a really clear example to you to help you eliminate your blocks, is what I can see is that I came from a family that one of the protective devices, so we all thought, in our life was judging other people. It would keep them from polluting us, judging them. It would keep them away from us. It would keep them from infecting us by judging them. I'm not like them. I'm better than them. And of course, anybody that thinks they're better than anyone else at least secretly thinks that they're not as good as someone else. And that better than less than is the constant thought of separation. So let's just pause here for a moment. I'm going to invite you to think of someone that you feel better than. Who do you feel like, oh, I'm better than them? I'm going to invite you to now think of who do you feel that you're not as good as? Who do you feel is better than you? And then, and I've never said this before, spirits knew all the time, but because we're asking, we're coming together here, all the, particularly all the people who are coming live, but you know, there is no time or space. So I always feel the questions of the people who will listen later, and I'm grateful for that. And people will tell me, oh my God, I just downloaded that class you gave a month ago. And just as I was thinking of this question, you answered it. So there's no time and space, and we can always be in the present moment, receptive to insight and guidance and wisdom and clarity and healing and all good of God. So think of this person that you feel better than and the person that you feel less than. And what Spirit is suggesting is to get a picture of each of these person, which is easy to do now. You can print them out from the internet. You can cut them out of magazines. Pretty easy to do that now. And then put them each in a frame. And if you have an altar, put them both on your altar. Maybe you don't have an altar, but you have a desk or you have a windowsill in your kitchen or something like that. Put them up where you can see them on a daily basis. And just check in every time you see them. Is it important to you to feel better than and less than? Because that's where that decision to feel separate, to live in lack and limitation resides. And these two people, perhaps by their very life, they're gifting you with that opportunity to lay aside that fundamental belief of separation, that there's a better than and a less than. Because there's no oneness in the mind of one who thinks better and less. There's no oneness in that awareness. So the awareness of oneness is the undoing of separation, right? So people talk about it's choosing love or fear. I personally prefer to think it's choosing between separation and unity or oneness. In oneness is my healing, it's my freedom, it's my release. That's the truth. The truth is we're one. Separation is false, and better than, less than, that's false. How can I be better than or less than the one that I'm part of? It doesn't even make sense. It's not illogical. If you do, in fact, accept that there's one life and we're part of God, we're part of the one life, one love, one presence, then how could you be better than or less than? How could that even work? So I'm going to invite you now, because Spirit's guiding me. How willing are you to actually do that, to get those two photographs in order to support your healing and to release your blocks to success? How willing are you? 10%, 20%, 100%? Now, let me ask you, if you knew that it would absolutely lead to your success in your relationships, would you be willing to put them on your altar? On your desk, your windowsill? If you knew that it would open up your financial flow, would this practice be something you would do? If you knew that it could help you heal illness, would you put it there on your altar? A Course in Miracles tells us that our altar is in our heart, and that the temple, which is the body, is important. It's helpful to us, and we need to value it in the sense of taking care of it and not disrespecting it. But we must remember to keep the altar clear of all false idols. So the thought of best, better than or less than is a false idol, because it's not true. And it really is saying, you know what? Okay, I understand God is telling me that I'm one with all, I'm part of God, all are part of God. But, you know, I just don't like that thought so much. I like this thought better. I'm better than this guy, and I'm less than this woman, or whatever it might be, whoever it might be. Those thoughts are much more valuable to me. I treasure those, and I'm going to tell my friends about those, and I'm going to make whole little altars in my heart to these better than and less than thoughts. And the idea of oneness, there's no room for that on my altar, because it's too much. How could I be one with that one who just blew up a village, who just robbed from the poor to give to the rich? How can I do that? How can I say, oh, you know, I'm one with the one who hurt me? No, I can't do that. I can't accept that truth. I have to have my own version of the truth. So my truth is, I feel wounded. That's my truth. Now, it might be that we feel wounded. Lord knows I have felt wounded. However, I know that I'm not wounded. And there are times, there were times when I could say, you know what, I read in the book that I'm perfect, whole, and complete, but it's not how I feel. But I'm willing to know that that's the truth of my being. And that willingness is the thing that helped me to heal. Because when we just keep affirming the false beliefs, nothing changes. It takes real courage. It takes tremendous courage to say, I'm done studying what's not actually true. I'm done building false idols and sinking sandcastles to what's not true. I'm willing to let what's false fall away, and I'm willing to discover the truth in my own heart. I'm willing to clear the altar of the false idols and only cherish what is true. It is deeply transformative, and it is also quite challenging, and it's consistently challenging day by day by day. So here's one thing that happened to me. Around about 2007, early 2008, somewhere around in there, in that time period, my mom was very, very ill, and it seemed pretty clear that she was going to be making her transition from having a human experience to shuffling off the mortal coil and transmuting this human experience, trading it in to go live with the angels. And in that time, I found myself dealing with so much conflict. And one of the decisions that I made in that time, actually 2005, 6, 7, and 8, was I made the decision, because I had such a difficult relationship with my mom for so long, I made the decision, whatever it takes, and I mean whatever it takes, my mom and I are going to have a healing. We are going to come to peace. Our relationship is going to be completely loving. She is not going to leave this human experience with any discord between us. I knew that I had to put myself in charge of it. I knew that it wasn't something that was going to be accomplished by having a lot of conversations with her, because I had been trying to do that my whole life. We both had been trying, and we had done a dance of blame and attack and feeling guilty, feeling ashamed, feeling resentful, feeling regretful, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth for decades. Because at that time, I was in my late 40s, and I made that decision. The only thing that can occur here, if she's leaving the planet, is she's going to leave with us having nothing but love between us. Everything healed from the past. Pure love, 100%. There's no other thing that can occur. And I did not know how to make that happen. Right? And now at the time I was in ministerial school, or just newly graduated from ministerial school. And I still didn't know how to make it happen. But I knew if I went with God and really did what God gave me to do, it would happen. I had absolute faith that if I was willing, it would be done. And it was intensely challenging for me to confront all my judgments, all my resentments, all my regrets, all my guilt, all my shame, all that blame, all that stuff that had been building up over a life of 45 years of being my mother's daughter. And now standing in the place of my mother's not really my mother anymore. My mother is the mother, father, God. My dad is not my dad. My mom is not my mom. They are my brother and my sister. And the healing of our life, our family, our hearts, and our minds is dependent upon me having no false idols. It's dependent upon me being grateful that the false beliefs that are mine to heal will heal us all, because we share the same mind. And I believed that it could be done, and it would be done if I made that decision and I let Spirit guide me, and I did. And it was a moment by moment experience. It was a day by day experience. And it took me several years. And in the process, what happened was that I experienced miraculous, instantaneous healing in my heart. But that miraculous, instantaneous healing took me years of daily paying attention to my thoughts and my feelings in order to get to. And in that process of doing all of that, I found in my meditation, in my prayer work, that I was led and guided to very specific things to do and to not do. And I call them my tips and my tools. And I experienced so much miraculous healing with my mother and with my father, because believe me, when my mom was sick for years, my father and I were caring for her. And of course, my brother was involved too, but he had four little children, so he was less involved than me and my dad. And because I went to live with them and be a full-time caretaker alongside my dad. We had so much healing between the three of us and with my brother that we moved into a place of, even though my mom was experiencing on a physical level what seemed like horror, because her body was doing things that were so physically intense, painful, just gnarly stuff happening with her body. And yet, particularly for me and my mom, we were able to experience joy, real joy, on a daily basis amidst all of that, because we let go of the past, and it was miraculous healing. And so after that experience, I took a breath, and I, after my mom made her transition, and I went back to Los Angeles, and after a couple of months of kind of integrating back into my other life of not being a full-time caregiver for my parents, I felt and I saw that I was different, that I had learned some things and I had let go of a lot. And I now was operating from a new level. And I realized that I had gone to a tipping point where now I was more peaceful than unpeaceful. So before that really challenging, intense, gnarly experience with my mom's death, and I can tell you that during the midst of all of that, I had just a nightmare experience with a boyfriend, and I had a nightmare experience with my best friend. I had a nightmare experience with my spiritual community. I had just all these really, really intensely ego, just breakdowns where I felt like I was being attacked on every level except my physical body. My physical body managed to go through everything, but I felt mentally and emotionally and financially and spiritually and relationshiply attacked and brought to my, not just to my knees, but like my face in a pile of dung where I could hardly breathe. And my companion in that hell was the Holy Spirit. And I clung to the Holy Spirit. And that's my letting Holy Spirit be my guide, getting down, falling down every day so many times and getting up so many times every day. I learned like somebody working out with weights at a gym and learning, when you go to the gym and you work out with certain things, if you work out with resistance, you strengthen. So I was seeing that the ego was resisting just being loving in every area of my life. The ego was like, no, 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 no. And I had to work at the level of the mind because there was no other avenue that was really open to me. And so that's what I did. And I, all the places where I had felt like a failure for decades because I wasn't willing to be loving. I wasn't willing to be kind. I wasn't willing to be patient. I wasn't willing to be generous. I wasn't willing to give up my false idols. Over and over again, I just said, Holy Spirit, show me how. And I was shown, and I was shown, and I was shown, and I was shown. And I learned to do what I was guided to do. It was a boot camp experience for me. It was exhausting for me. But when it was all over and the dust settled, I realized, as the months went by, wow, I'm actually peaceful most of the time now. Where most of the time before I was agitated, I was frustrated, I was sad, I was angry, I was hurt, I was guilty, I was feeling ashamed, I was feeling stupid. Now, most of the time, I was feeling peaceful. I was feeling harmonious. I was feeling generous. I was feeling patient. I was feeling kind. And I realized, wow, my life has actually significantly, and I can feel it, permanently changed. And it has, because since then, I'm peaceful most of the time and more peaceful with every passing day, because every passing day, I'm eliminating more false thoughts and beliefs and idols and clearing the altar every single day without exception. And so now, I don't ever feel unsuccessful. Not everything goes the way I'd like it to go. Not everything goes the way I wish it would go. Not everything goes the way I think it's going to go. But I don't ever feel like a failure. Ever. And I do not feel blocked to my success. And I used to always feel blocked to my success. And if I look back 15 years ago, I can tell you that I was firmly convinced that the blocks to my success were hidden from me. I would never be able to find them because they were in my soul. And I had no way to get them out. I just had to manage and cope with them. I was absolutely 100% convinced of that 15 years ago. And so what happened then is in 2008, I said, okay, I've got to do something with all these tips and tools. And so I had been teaching classes for a decade and workshops and retreats for a decade. I said, I'm going to make a very specific class, like a boot camp, because that's what I had been through. And I'm going to share that with people and walk them through the tips and tools that I got that really changed my life. And so I started offering what I initially called family freedom, because my family had healed so much. And then I changed it to finding freedom. And so it evolved over the first few times that I offered it from family freedom to finding freedom to what it is now, which is my Finding Freedom Spiritual Bootcamp class, for really applying these basic healing principles in A Course in Miracles. Because anyone who studies A Course in Miracles and doesn't experience tremendous miraculous healing, they know it's because they're reading the lessons, but they're not doing the lessons. There's a real difference between reading them and doing them. There's a real difference, you know, just like I've become interested in gardening. And in my family has a home in Maine and on an island, and it's really nice. And my parents built it back in the 80s, and my mom really loved working in the gardens. It was really something it was one of her life pleasures and treasures. And I realized that after my mom passed, my dad didn't care about the gardens. My dad remarried a few years ago, and my stepmother is not into those gardens either, and they moved to Florida, and so the gardens were really languishing. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to take these gardens over. And we rent the house now, and if you're interested, you can look up the house. There's an ad for it at jenniferhadley.com on the events page. It's called Blue Arches. That's the name of our house. my mom named it. It's beautiful on the water on this island, and we rent it. And it's so nice to share it with other people and other families. They go and just have a wonderful, wonderful time there. And so I've been working in these gardens. Well, I could read all kinds of books about gardening, and I can have all kinds of conversations with other gardeners, and I can go to the garden store. But if I don't actually work in the garden, nothing's going to change in the garden. If I don't pull the weeds from the garden, they're just going to keep growing and taking over the garden. And so that's what I've seen at my our family's house, is that when I go in and pull out the weeds and I'm really vigilant about it, those weeds don't come back. And when I really tend those flowers and those plants, they flourish and grow, right? Spirit gives us all these beautiful things to show us how life really works. So it's a no-brainer that we have to pull the weeds out of our mind, but we don't know how. The great thing is all we have to do is be willing, and Spirit will show us how. So I have discovered so many ways that really work, and they're practical. They're applicable. And my joy now is helping people to figure it out and to do it. I can't do it for anybody. Like, I can't, I can tell you how to weed your garden in an effective way, but I can't get into your garden and weed it for you. Right? So, and this is my passion. And particularly, I have a passion for the people who would like to also show others how to weed their gardens. And the Power of Love Ministry, which I founded in 2013, we're moving in a direction where I'm interested in being able to show people what I've done, empower them to do it for themselves. And then if they're interested in being a counselor, being a teacher, creating a curriculum, these different aspects like I've done, that they have a place they can do it. This is part of my bigger picture, and I'm inviting you to hold that with me, that the Power of Love Ministry is growing, that we're going to be offering a ministerial program, teaching people how to do workshops, how to lead retreats, how to create curriculums, how to teach online and in person, as well as what we're already doing, which is training spiritual counselors. So in addition to being able to offer classes that are open to anyone, to have these professional programs as well that really work, and most importantly, when people are finished with them, they feel empowered to go forth and do what they'd like to do. And maybe they even, if they like, can have a job at the ministry. So this is what I feel Spirit has called me to do, and I am doing it. And I'm inviting anyone to share and to support, because one thing I say all the time is it takes a village to raise a minister. It takes a village to raise a spiritual student to their true identity. So it takes a village, because we are one. And I'm getting a feeling here of taking a question. So if you are on the line and you would like to raise your hand and ask a question on this topic of eliminating blocks to success, if you have a question you'd like to raise your hand, you can do it on your keypad, *2. If you're on the phone or you're on the web call or you're calling in on Skype, *2 to raise your hand. So just putting that out there, can do a little bit of spiritual counseling. One of the things that I offer is something called my sacred circle. And so I have almost every week we have a call, and we have group counseling, and you can ask me any question you like. And we can focus on having a healing, eliminating blocks in whatever is going on with you particularly. And I love doing that, my sacred circle. My sacred circle is part of my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp class. And since nobody's raising their hand yet, but you can at any time raise your hand if you're on the phone or on the webcast with a *2. If you're listening on the webcast, actually, I meant web call. If you're listening on the webcast, you would have to, I believe, drop off or, you know, call in on the phone. And we have local numbers for many, many countries in order to raise your hand with a star two and ask a question. So let me just tell you while we're seeing if anybody has a question I'll just tell you a few things about finding freedom. And one of the things I'll share is that I think one of the great benefits of my Finding Freedom Boot Camp is that people learn a spiritual practice that really works for them and they feel the healing effect of it. You know, and I don't know, maybe you're like me, but for a long time, I was asking the wrong question. Because I was asking, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have a breakthrough? Why can't I do this? Why is it so hard for me? So often I was asking the wrong question. And so I'm going to invite you, in terms of eliminating blocks to your success, to pay attention to what are the questions that you ask. Instead of asking why, with that plaintive victim feeling, why can't I do this? Why is it so hard for me? Like I used to ask, to shift it and to start asking it this way. Go, huh, I'm curious. I wonder why this is so hard for me. Like put that gentle sweetness in there. I wonder why this is so hard for me. And you can ask, instead of the why questions, you can ask how questions, of spirit, of course. How can I have a breakthrough? And then truly, I have found that even just eliminating those questions a lot of time is the best, and just go in right into, I'm willing to have a breakthrough. I'm willing to experience lasting healing and transformation. I am willing to let the past go. I'm willing to know the truth that sets me free. I'm willing to have peace instead of this. I'm willing. Really worked for me. So, again, star two to raise your hand if you're on the phone and you'd like to share about it. So in my Finding Freedom class, I'm just going to tell you, if you've heard me talk about it before, I'd like to say up front that we're doing some new things. And one of the things that I'm offering now to people is, since we've had so many people take the class and people who are in my spiritual counseling training program, they're required to take Finding Freedom and they're required to do all the work. And so that's part of their certification process. And so what's happened is some of them are available to answer your questions about finding freedom so you can figure out, is it right for you? Is it right for you right now? Because I'm interested in supporting anybody who's willing to do this work, anyone who has the courage to do this work, anybody who's willing to make the decision to do it, I'm willing to support you. And so we have payment plans. We have multiple payment plans. If we don't have one that works for you, we'll even create one that's just for you according to your budget. Seriously, we've done that before. We'll do it again. I'm all in if you're all in. And so you can do what we call an exploratory call. And if you are, I think on the page that you're on, if you're listening on the webcast, or you can go to jenniferhadley.com and click through to Finding Freedom from the events page, maybe even the home page right now or the blog page. You can look at the Finding Freedom page there. And if you scroll down to the bottom, you ought to be able to sign up for an exploratory call. And you can actually make an appointment with someone right now. These are not, I don't have any salespeople. I don't have any salespeople. That's not, I don't try to sell anything to anybody. But what we do have is we have people who are in the spiritual counseling certification program. So they're in the training program. They've already taken the class. And because of that, they can just answer your questions and help you figure out if it's right for you. That's their only agenda, is just to help you figure out if it's right for you. But we're doing some new things in Finding Freedom now. And so we're exploring, as I'm always exploring, always, how can I be some more supportive? How can I help people to have a bigger breakthrough, to follow their heart, to live their passion, to do it more quickly with more ease and more grace? I ask these questions of Spirit all the time, and so I get new ideas that we implement all the time. So I've got some new things that we're doing in Finding Freedom for the very first time, very excited about it, offering more support. And I'm just really, really excited about it because I've seen that it really works for people, so that they don't quit and they don't give up and they follow through on their own goals. And it takes so much courage just to say, you know what, I'm willing. Not even to say, I can do it. I will do it. I am doing it. It takes so much courage just to say, you know what, I failed so many times, but I'm willing to try one more time. And I've had people take Finding Freedom who told me later, look, I had already made up my mind. I had one person who told me I had already made up my mind I was going to kill myself if the class didn't work. I've tried so many things, Jennifer, so many things. You know, I'm not a spring chicken. I've done so many things. I feel like my whole life is a failure. I don't have the ability to figure it out. I thought, I'll try one more thing, and if this doesn't work, that's it. I'm giving myself permission to quit. This life does not work for me. And they didn't tell me that until after the class, and they said, I just want you to know, I'm so clear. I would like to live. I'm excited about life. I did not think this was possible for me. I have to be honest. I didn't believe it was possible for me, but I was willing. I had a little tiny bit of willingness to try. And with the support of the whole group, I now am excited about my life. And I wish I could tell you without breaking confidence how amazing that person's life is now. So amazing. And one of the great things, now I hadn't even thought about this before, but just now as I'm going through my mind, different people that have taken Finding Freedom, a number of people have stepped into a powerful ministry, living and teaching because of the shifts and changes that they made in their life from Finding Freedom. Of course, I couldn't do it for them, but they did it with me. And that's what Finding Freedom is about. So Finding Freedom is, it's a class, and the classes have already been pre-recorded by me. I have a curriculum that I work through that I found really works. And so you get the downloads of the classes, and I've got about 50 modules and with videos. A lot of them have, most of them have videos. Some of them are short videos, some of them are longer videos, some of them are even movies. And I have a 400-page workbook, and then I have my weekly Sacred Circle call where you can ask me any question that you like. And now we're doing what we call Freedom Circles, which are small groups that are being facilitated by the spiritual counselors in training who are working with me and working the curriculum of Finding Freedom in those small groups, so that you have check-ins. And you can also work with one-on-one with one of my spiritual counselors in training on just a donation basis. So there's no real extra charge. That donation could be anything. And just an exchange of energy. So these different aspects. You get the classes with me, the videos with me, the live weekly call-in with me. You get the small group check-in, and you get the Facebook group, which is a wonderful, very supportive Facebook group. You get the 400-page workbook, and then you get some other things that are just wonderful things I like to throw in there to support you. Going all out for you. And because we've expanded the class so much in the last couple years and we haven't raised the price, I am going to raise the price starting October 5th. So this session of Finding Freedom closes on registration closes on Wednesday, October 4th, and the price goes up at midnight Pacific time on October 4th. And so if you'd like to get it at the old price, now's the time. And remember, you can have that payment plan. So if you've been thinking about taking Finding Freedom, my hope is that this will be the incentive that helps you to decide to eliminate the blocks to your success, because I know those blocks aren't real, but I also know that they feel real. I know that. Believe me, I know that. I've been doing this for a long time, and my blocks, I told you, I absolutely was convinced that my blocks were real and permanent and could not be overcome. But through doing exactly the things in Finding Freedom, I had a major breakthrough. And because I had that major breakthrough, I realized, oh, I just proved these spiritual principles actually work. And knowing that they do now, I've got to keep going. I've got to keep building. And poof, nothing's going to stop me now. And this is the thing that I have seen with people who have continued on from Finding Freedom into Masterful Living and who have really transformed their lives, many of them going into the spiritual counseling and certification program because they're so excited about what they've been able to do with spirit and with the community that they are now passionate about sharing it with others. And what's more, they know that they can, that they are being led and guided, and that they are being supported in the invisible as well as the visible. So this is the vision that I had been given by Spirit 30 years ago, and it's unfolding now. When it was given to me 30 years ago, I said, no, I could never do that. I'm too messed up. I got too many problems. I'm too mean and nasty. I'm too angry and resentful. I'm a grudge holder. I could never be a beneficial presence like that. Oh gosh, no. And so that's why I know, golly gee, if I could change so much from feeling it was impossible for me to knowing that even more is possible for me, and that I'm mostly peaceful now and mostly loving now. I'm not saying 100%, but mostly. And I would like to help anyone who would like to do this. So eliminating your blocks to success. We all know that it's the false beliefs that are getting in our way, and the letting of them go, in part, it's recognizing that when we are seeing ourselves as better than or less than we are absolutely 100% affirming that we're not good enough, that we're separate from God, that it's not possible for us. It doesn't seem like saying, oh, that one's a jerk, could actually be the same as saying, I'm never going to be happy and stay happy. But believe it or not, that simple judgment, oh my God, what a jerk, and holding on to it and being convinced of it, it is the very thing that is the wedge in our mind the block in our mind that prevents us from being prosperous, from healing our body, from healing our relationships, from living our passion and demonstrating our dream. I know this to be true because I've seen so many people shift this. This one thing is what Spirit is telling me now will make all the difference in your life. So I'm just asking you to go back to, would you be willing to take those two photographs of those two people, put them on your altar or on your desk or in on your windowsill, and every time you think of them and see them, that you are willing to change your mind. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to change my mind about that. I don't need those beliefs anymore. I don't need those blocks in my mind anymore. I'm willing to see all as one. All is part of God. God is wholly good, completely good, and so am I. That practice will actively eliminate the blocks to your success. I know it. I know it. So the question is not whether or not it works, it's whether or not you will work it. Are you willing? That simple practice will make a big shift, and it will lead you to the next practice and the next practice, as it did for me. So if you'd like to have a whole group of practices and tools and tips and the support to work them and not give up on yourself, then come join me in Finding Freedom. We start Wednesday, October 4th. Nobody's asking a question. I'm feeling Spirit saying that'll do it. Leave it there. So we put it all on the altar. I'm going to pray. I'm so grateful for your life and my life. I'm so grateful for this journey of love and awakening. I'm so grateful and thankful that God is now and forever whole and complete. I'm so grateful that our true nature is miraculous. I'm so grateful that we are all fundamentally good and that cannot be changed or shifted. It can't be degraded. And in truth, it can't even really be hidden. So we are grateful and thankful to accept the truth of our being, which is that we are fundamentally good. The Christ is active in our awareness. We are grateful to acknowledge it today and to see it in our brothers and sisters. We're setting ourselves free by changing our minds. We're grateful and thankful to give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. Grateful and thankful to know that it's already done. And so it is. Amen. 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 All boats rise on this tide of love. Every change we make, all benefit from. Wow. Thank you for joining me. What a powerful and beautiful class. God bless you. I love you. Mwah. Thank you again for investing your precious heart in your healing. It lifts us all. If you'd like more support, please go to jenniferhadley.com. I offer the free gift of daily prayer and inspiration by means of my blog, which I call Spiritual Espresso. Sign up today and you'll join with people from all over the world who are in a powerful prayer circle together. Spiritual Espresso is a great support to keep your mind open and focused on love every day in every way. Thank you for being my prayer partner. I love you, and I thank God for you. Yes, I do.